It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
He's pounding down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go.
And welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. The show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Piping Supply, Atmore Dragway, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
Get your butt to Ed's.
Speaking of Atmore, let's see if we can get this pulled up here. They had a rain out this past weekend. So,
yeah, but we just had that gentleman, Brian, was on here with us and talking about that circuit that they've got going there. And I think that's a really awesome venue that they've got. But they got rained out, but, hey, a drag strip has got a concert.
Well, you know what?
That's a good move.
It's a good venue. They got seats. They got big open space.
Restrooms, and they got all the concession stands and all. Hey, somebody play some music.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They got on Saturday, April 20th. Gates open at 4:00. Live concert at 6:00.
Right.
It's the Tip Tops.
Tip Tops.
Bring your chairs and coolers.
There you go.
Sounds like it'd be a good time. It really does.
Yep, and then they're going to have the Royal Rumble on Sunday?
Royal Rumble on Sunday. Let's see. Well, they're going to be fighting up here?
No, but they called it that, but I think they've got a...
I've seen races that look like fights than anything.
So. Yeah, I went to a fight and saw a race.
Yeah.
I went to
one or the other. Yeah, it's worked out both ways.
Yeah. But they've got some awesome grudge races going on up there, and I think the Juice Man is one of the guys that's helping put this thing on, and it's a final scenario there of that, and some of those guys that they've got that are racing, it's got some awesome grudge racing there. Sounds like a bunch of street racers would have got their own little street names.
Yeah, they we got Buck versus Kelly. Purple Haze and Scrappy.
Sound like street names.
And we can go on down the list. Swamp Boys and, there's a whole bunch of list of them here, but they got the pretty good race going on Sunday, the April 20th. Early parking at 4:00. And I'm scrolling back and forth.
You're still back
April
over 21st. Saturday.
Yeah. Sorry, I scrolled back too far.
That'll be this Sunday.
The gates open at noon. Kids Easter at 1:00. Race at 3:00.
There you go.
It'll be a good day.
They're going to do something for the kids then for Easter. Easter Sunday probably have an Easter egg hunt.
Yep. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And get some racing.
Donna's doing a good job at Atmore Dragway, and for the drag racers there, or people that are interested in going up there, and this might be a chance for you to go this weekend and see a heck of a concert there, the Tip Tops, live concert, 6 p.m. It's on Racetrack Road in Atmore. It's right near the Wind Creek Casino. If you guys are interested in maybe going and staying at the casino that night or whatever, that's certainly up to you, but...
Yeah,
we've been there and done that. So
Go see the concert, stay the night, and
there you go.
Then Sunday you can go watch the race.
There you go. Do it. Make a weekend out of it. Get the Royal Rumble Easter Sunday.
Yep. Sounds like a good time. But,
yes.
Of course, I hope everybody got their taxes done. Day is tax day. You only got a couple hours left.
If you don't, get your extension.
We signed our papers today.
Yeah.
I'll send my check this week.
we had to file an extension, but I'm going to sign the papers tomorrow.
Yeah.
They didn't get them done quite in time for me to do that and get here.
If you don't owe a bunch of money, you can file those extensions, and man, you got just about July, August to send them in.
Yeah.
But now, if you send the money in that you owe, then.
You're going to owe some more.
You will be getting some paperwork about your extension interest that you didn't pay on time.
Yeah, you can file for an extension on filing the paperwork, but you still got to pay the taxes on time.
I heard a figure today. The guy said on TV, he says, you can get an extension, but if you owe, you need to file at least 90% of it. Hell, if I got 90%, I file it all.
That's right. If I can get that close, I'll just go ahead and pay it. You know,
but I didn't know that was a law or some. I guess it's some kind of rule. I've never have got that close on it.
Yeah, you know, it's they don't play.
No, they don't play, baby.
And they'll find a way to get theirs.
Yes, yeah,
trust me.
They'll they know your account numbers at the bank. They know your account numbers are in they like to come down and if you don't answer those letters and correspondence as you should, if you happen to have a little business one morning, you wake up and go to work and you can't get in.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Funny how they do that.
There'll be a new lock on the door.
Yeah, funny nice how they brand, do that. Yeah. A big, bigger chain or something, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen it happen. Thank God it never happened to me. But
thank God it hadn't happened to me either. But I know some friends that, the hell with it. I ain't paying no taxes, you know. Don't let them come get me.
Yeah.
I said, hey, baby.
Guess what?
They'll make it where you.
They'll know how to do that.
They don't have to come get you. They'll just make it where you want to go find them.
Yes.
You know, hey, what do we need to do? Work this out.
Yeah. How can we work this out?
I'd like to have my house and my car and my cash and everything freed up again.
Oh yeah. I'd like for you to need to loosen up my purse strings here a little bit.
Right. I want to jump in on this.
Uh-oh.
Well,
Charlie, they haven't been after you, have they?
No, but back in the day when I worked two jobs.
Okay.
All right, the second job was part-time, and they never took out enough taxes.
Uh-oh.
So at the the amount I wound up owing was about what I earned on that part-time job. But anyhow, so I get a thing that says, all right, you owe Uncle Sam $1,200. I didn't have no $1,200. So I made out a check for $50, but you got to file it on time. And I sent it off. And about 4 months later, I get a letter back, and it says, call this number to arrange an installment plan.
Mm-hmm.
So I called them up, and the lady very nicely said, well, how much do you think you can afford each month? I said, about $75. She said, fine, we'll put you down for $75. So for the next 12 months, I just sent in an installment check, and it's still going on because the people that prepared my taxes today, I overheard the lady telling somebody on the phone that if you don't have the $1,300 that you owe, then send them what you can.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
Just
right.
Draw a line through the amount, send them what you can, and then just wait, and the wheels will turn, and you'll get a,
you'll get
a return mail.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to file. That's the thing.
That's the main thing.
Whether you got the money or not.
But you know, the cats that say, I ain't filing, you know, I'll let them come find me, dude, you know.
Well,
that's brilliant.
Yeah, that's really brilliant, buddy. They will find you.
Of course, you might wind up with your own TV show with all the stuff they got on TV nowadays.
I had, I had something happen to me. I know what it was. I had gotten with my lawyer, and my lawyer had filed my taxes, and he didn't pay my withholding taxes, in other words, that I had taken out for my employees.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? They never sent me a letter. They sent it to his office, and he didn't forward it. His secretary didn't forward it.
Right.
I went to the bank one day, and I was made a withdrawal. And the lady said, did you make an electronic withdrawal this morning? I said, oh, no. I said, I hadn't been here in 3 or 4 days.
Uh-oh, well, I know what's coming.
She said, well, there was a withdrawal out of your account this morning. Said, you need to check it out there. So you might not be able to take many more of these withdrawals like you just took. I said, well, what's the balance? She says $12.
Payroll is coming up.
I said, there's supposed to be a couple of $1,000 in there. She said, well, there was until this morning.
Right.
Yeah.
And I said, well, who did the electronic withdrawal? Well, I can't tell you that, you know.
It's out of my account.
Yeah.
you know. You would think.
But then she said, well, it's just an electronic withdrawal. So then I had to start searching, and I found out, you know, that I got screwed, blued, and tattooed.
That's when you owned a business.
When I owned a business, you know. Yep. But it was by a bogus lawyer is what it boiled down to.
Right, right.
Well, let's fix some cars after a while as soon as we get this big break going on.
Yep. And after this break, I'm going to let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back, and we'll talk about some cars.
There you go.
And you can call in with your questions or
there
problems.
You go. Yeah, tell us about your problems.
Now, we're not going to offer tax advice.
No.
Sure.
No.
Okay.
And I'm not going to give you that lawyer's name either.
Good deal.
My advice is pay it.
Yeah. It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, you've heard the story of the hot rod race that fatal day when the Ford and the Mercury...
Yeah, and welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Remco along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call, 343-0106, or send us a text to that same number. But, it was kind of funny. I was actually at the doctor's office this morning and got talking to my doctor a little bit. He said, I'm not a car guy. I don't know nothing about him, whatever. Yeah, I do listen to some car shows once in a while, but yeah. Said he doesn't get into the car thing, which is fine. But, we got talking about it, and I just come back from New Orleans for training. I had 2 days over there last week. And, just the constant changes and what we have to do to keep up with and all that kind of stuff. And he said, luckily, I only have to deal with two models that hadn't changed in many hundreds of years.
Male and female.
Yeah, male and female. And yeah. And there's constant updates and changes in the medical profession and how they take care of you. But as far as the models, they've stayed the same. So. But we got a kick out of that today. But that was always a little.
Well, I had gone to over the years to when my first wife to some doctors, and the doctors listened to the shows that you and I were doing, and they wouldn't start it when we got in there. They wouldn't start asking about the questions about what happened to this and what happened to that and all. And finally, one day, my wife says, "I'm here to see you about why I'm sick. Y'all fix the cars later."
you want to talk about the car, call the show.
Next time that we went, I couldn't go in there.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to see the doctor. I'm not going in there to listen to y'all fix cars.
Right. Yeah. If I want to hear that, I'll tune in.
I can tune in on the darn radio. Just listen to y'all change batteries or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's all right.
But that's okay. Hey, I'm sure somebody out there has got some car problems that they want to talk about. Or hey, we talk about anything. I don't care. Races.
It don't matter.
Taxes. But we don't have any opinions about anything that's worthwhile except maybe cars.
Yeah. I mean, you can put a little weight in what I say about a car, but any of the rest of it, we're just running a mouth. So
unless it's experiences, we've had some experiences now.
This is true too.
Yeah, over the years, you have experiences.
Yeah, but our main sponsor, UJ Chevrolet, my employers. People don't realize how
I know
much.
When this started.
Yeah,
1940.
Yep. Yeah. 39, 40, somewhere
you
right
saw
there.
40. You saw that on TV, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. I do watch the commercials. I didn't figure they'd lie on TV.
No.
Be nice to have those old cars that were in those.
Man, that's what I was looking at, Charlie. I could like either one of those trucks or that 69 Camaro or that 63, 64 Chevelle.
You go walk around the used car department over there, and they've got a bunch of those old pictures from the old store.
I'd have a heart
from
attack.
Back in the day, and all the old vehicles out there lined up brand new on the
lot. I'd have a heart attack, man.
But we do have a caller online. Call, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here. How you guys doing tonight?
Great. How are you?
I'm good. I talked to you several months ago. A Toyota Tundra surging. When it's accelerating, when it's pulling a load.
Right.
And we talked about fuel filters. There's not I checked into it. There's not a fuel filter in line on this.
Okay.
I used injector cleaner. It seemed to help.
Mm-hmm.
but I'm still having it. And so, you know, months later, I think I'm starting to realize, and I always put premium in it.
Right.
But certain gas stations, it does it, and I'll go fill up somewhere else, and it doesn't do it. And my question to you guys isn't as much about that problem as much as, is there anybody who's checking the gas to see if the quality of the fuel that we're buying is there? I mean, I know that they check to make sure a gallon's a gallon, but do they make sure it's a gallon of gas and not, you know, a pint of water thrown in there?
Or that it's 87 octane.
Right. Yeah, they're supposed to be. I don't know how diligent they are on checking it. You know, the problem is, you know, a busy gas station may go through a tank of fuel in a week, you know. So if they don't get by there and check it every week, then
right.
Guess what? It's, you're not going to catch most of it. I have seen where – now – a few years back, we were checking pretty regular. When I was at BMW, we had some issues with their with the ethanol the ethanol content of the fuel. It shouldn't have been more than 10%, and we were getting upwards of closer to 15% at times.
Right.
I think they've corrected some of that because I really have not seen that issue in a while. When you get in 10, it's pretty close to 10%. Most of our fuels, unless you buy 100% gasoline, is going to be a 10% ethanol mix.
Right.
So that makes a huge difference in the way a vehicle runs. If it's expecting to see 100% gasoline and it's 10, then it's 10% ethanol, then it's going to be a little lean. Not too bad. It will run on it, and it should run okay if everything is right. But if you get up around 15% and it's not compensating for it, then, you know, it's going to be a problem. It's going to run. It's going to run different, you know, and it's going to have that surge. It's going to have a lean issue. Yeah.
Is trash or water in the gas an issue at all?
Well, it can be, no doubt. We see water in fuel tanks from time to time. It's not as prevalent because they
do have a filter in each one of those pumps.
Each pump has a filter at the pump, but you know, it's just like the filter in your car. It'll get by there,
right?
You know, so depends on how much is there. Fuel tanks in the ground or whatever, wherever, they'll sweat, and there's going to be water in the bottom of those tanks. But that's why they don't pick
not
it up
as much
directly
now,
from the bottom.
Not as much now. Since they started using the fiberglass tanks, as there right. was back in the day, earlier, you know, in the 60s and 70s, or early 80s, along through there, when all of our tanks were steel.
Right.
But they were getting more condensation then, but they also were leaking into the groundwater, so they had to get rid of those.
So an old gas station might be more likely to...
Well, they've taken all those out.
Oh, okay.
What I do understand, though, back in the day, now I don't know whether this is still true or not, they didn't check individual service stations. They did check the refinery dumps where these trucks are going in to pick up the fuel and then bringing them out to the individual service stations. That's where those people were checking there to check the grade of the fuel, the amount of ethanol, and water content.
Yeah.
So I would still think that they're doing that. Every company is cut back on people and personnel, so I'm sure they haven't hired enough people to go around to the service stations and check their fuel.
Right, right. You know.
So,
go ahead.
So for this issue, do you just suggest to continue to use injector cleaners, or is there at some point do you? You know, have injectors cleaned or replaced, or what's kind of the? I've got roughly 140,000 on this, and it's
yeah,
great
you know,
engine, great vehicle. It's just continue to have this issue,
right? You know,
more
with
of an
that,
annoyance.
Yeah, with that amount of miles, I wouldn't imagine having to replace all the injectors. Now, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't run like a Tecron or some kind of quality fuel injector cleaner through multiple tanks of fuel. You know, I would do it back to back, three or four tanks of fuel in a row, and that should help clean up those injectors. Because if you're getting on the verge of it being a problem and the injectors can't flow enough or a proper pattern to make the fuel that you're getting work properly. So, you know, an injector cleaner will probably clean them up enough to make it work, you know. And that's assuming that everything else is right on the truck. Fuel pressure, no vacuum leaks, no vacuum lines out of place, no, you know, no air leaks in the intake system, you know, like between the air filter and the throttle body. If all that's good and tight and sealed up, mass airflow is good and clean. And that's something else you might want to do is clean the mass airflow sensor. They make some spray air sensor cleaner. Just spray it down, let it dry, and put it back in. You know, because if it's getting just a slight buildup on the mass airflow, it will skew it ever so slightly towards the basically a lean side, which means it's not registering as the total amount of air that's coming past it. If it's miscalculating that by just a small amount, it will give you that surge and that little bit of lean condition.
Is that pretty accessible to get? I'm not familiar. I guess I could look it up and try to do it. Or is that?
It's usually pretty wide open. It's going to be in the intake duct between the throttle body and the air filter. Is pretty much the only component that's going to be, you know, in that area with an electrical wire hooked to it. So, if you pull it out, you'll see where the air kind of goes across it, and just be gentle with it. Don't get abusive with it. Don't try and brush the wires or anything. Just spray it down, leave it alone.
So there's a special cleaner made to do that?
Yes, they do have a special mass airflow cleaner, you know, for that.
Okay. So I'll try that.
Okay. That's
probably a good place to look next, and then the things that we're talking about, injectors and testing to make sure there's not leaks and so forth, is that all dealership or is that
some independents can do that, you know. You just have to kind of look around and you know, a decent independent should be able to do that without having to go back to the dealer. But, you know, it never hurts to go to the dealer because, you know, you pay a very little more per hour, but you have the experience of someone that's worked on that vehicle and knows what to look for. So the time you spend on it usually is less. So it works out in your favor most of the time.
To go to an independent or the dealer?
To the dealer. I'm pretty sold on them. So.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, great. Well, I appreciate it. I'll try those suggestions, and if it doesn't work, you'll hear from me in a few more months.
Okay. That'll work.
All right, buddy. Have a good night.
Bye. Thank you. We're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Baby blue wire wheels. I took her home the day that she had the time. He said she leaked and it would rain. Sounded like airplanes, but I knew she was a jewel in disguise. She had a 455 rocket, biggest block of light. I couldn't hardly wait just to take my turn. Straight away, she grew up hating Chevrolets. She's a rocket, she was made to burn. Well, whose junk pile piece of Chevelle is this? You boys come here to race, you just kids.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. We do have a text message here. Let's see. I have a 03 Honda Civic. Just wondering what's the stock antifreeze for this model? It's actually a blue type coolant. It's it's not a straight ethylene glycol. I'm not exactly sure exactly what it is, you know, 100%. What I do know is that if you will flush it out well, like you should do for a car of that age if you're going to be working on it, and put a 50-50 mix of a extended life coolant in it, Prestone or Peak, and there's numerous manufacturers
that
do
brand.
As long as you're running that, it will be fine.
Right.
You know,
let me reassure you, you must clean that system out. You must flush it out.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is the stuff that's coming out of there is a contaminant. So you don't need to just let it run on the ground in your yard or whatever. So
right. You know, and you don't know. We're talking about a car that is, 16 years old?
16, yeah.
So, you know, would be surprised if it's got the original coolant in it.
I wouldn't think so. I would think somebody's already changed it.
So you don't really know what anyone's put in it. They make coolant of all different colors and shades and mixes and everything else. You can't go 100% by the color, because I know some extended life coolants that are green, just like the old ethylene glycol mix.
Yep.
So you got to be careful and see what's in there. Most all of them will mix together and not really hurt anything. But if you pour red coolant in one that's got green coolant in it, and guess what? It's going to look like rust when you get through pouring it in there. And you're not going to be able to tell when something is going south.
Some of that stuff will congeal and clog it up.
Well, the old Dexos, I mean, not Dexos, the Dexcool coolant, they had some issues where if it touched air, it would start crystallizing. So if it got a little low on coolant for some reason, it would crystallize and cause some issues.
Ooh.
So, and it would actually just turn
it
almost
changed
like
all
mud.
Of that, though, didn't it?
They pretty well done away with all that.
Do you
that.
Know about what those years were? I know you were working during that period of time, but I don't know if the year span or not.
They went to it somewhere in the mid-90s, and they finally got away from it in the early 2000s somewhere. I don't remember the exact dates, but, trust me, we had to deal with that for a long time.
Yeah, you went down that road.
Yeah, it was a pretty common thing to have to, clean out a cooling system because of that stuff coming up on us. But it's just... just use a good quality coolant, flush it out well, and start fresh, and everything will be good.
Next question. They tell us that this is lifetime coolant.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really true, is it?
They call it that, but I don't go by that.
What do you have a year of a perimeter there of some area that you work with as far as to 3 years, 4 years, 5 years or something?
You know, I've seen them go, pretty much lifetime of the vehicle. But, eventually you're going to have to open the cooling system up. There's going to be a reason to have to drain the cooling out. But, if at least by 150,000 miles, if you have not drained and refilled the cooling system, it's time to do it. I would prefer to see it about every 100,000. You don't have to do it every 25 or 30 or 2 years or like you used to have to.
Made the remark to that gentleman there a while ago about it, whoever it was sent that text, that that whatever they drained out of there might be a contaminant and could hurt water and stuff of that nature.
Right.
So that at a service facility, don't y'all catch that and put it in a container and have it picked up?
We do. We have storage tanks for all of our expelled chemicals like that, the oil, that transmission fluid, the antifreeze, gas if we have to. We got to control what's coming out of these cars, and you just can't dump it right in the drains.
They've got organizations that handle it and reprocess it and what have you come by and pick it up.
They do. It's and it costs us money. I mean, there's money spent on all this stuff.
I can remember those days.
Does that include used motor oil?
Used motor oil is one of them. It's very highly regulated.
We have. 82 gallons of used motor oil we picked up in behind your shop back here. I need a check for $112.
Mm-hmm.
Going like, what?
Right.
What?
In other words, what you're saying is you can't pour it out on the ground
no,
anymore.
No, 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 no.
And you right. shouldn't want to if you care
no,
about the earth.
No. No, we need to worry about that. You know, it might mean something. Might be out there eating the dirt or something.
That's right. Let's see, we got a listener that is wondering if GM is still doing its schooling at Delgado College in New Orleans, and yes, they are. It's a very nice facility. Randy over there has been teaching over there for 10 or 12 or 15 years.
It sounds like he's
actually
been
longer
there.
Than that now. He's been there for a while, and he may have, this listener may have, but actually, Randy was there through Katrina, I know, so that's at least 14 years
mm-hmm.
ago. So he's been there a while. Great guy. Love going to school with him.
Now, is he an independent or is he a GM trainer?
Well, the way GM does it, they have farmed out their training to Raytheon. It's a company that does
like
a lot of things, but that's one. Yeah,
like ICAR does collision?
Yeah, a lot of, you know, very similar. Very similar. It's, but they're doing it by the GM syllabus and you know, teaching classes the way that GM wants them done, and they send the motors that you're going to tear down or all the pieces, transmissions, whatever you got to take apart, they're going to send to them. They send them cars, so we're working with current model, you know, vehicles
okay.
when we go there.
Well, it now let me ask you this: mm-hmm. See, you can tell me whether it's the truth or not. I understand that if you get before you can get a 2019 vehicle in your shop and work on it, that you have to have somebody that's certified on a 2019 vehicle on that particular type item. Is that true?
That on the, in some car lines. Now, GM has not gotten to that point yet. Because you got to remember, GM's a big company.
Right.
And it's hard to get everybody trained before a new model comes out, you know, because one thing on our part of it, getting everybody to class, two, getting all the classes built, designed, and up to speed for people to be able to go to. So it's just like the world-class technician classes and
you
training and all that.
I
was one of the first to get the world-class certification with GM in 2003. It's just hard to get there. You know, when we went and started doing that, they were going to have you recertify every 3 years. Okay. They got to the point to where 2 or 3 years into this program, they figured out that we can't do that because too many people.
Too many techs.
Yeah, we can't get everybody through the first time, so we're not going to have to recertify everybody. So
did they fall back to like one in each dealership or two in each dealership?
Well, there's really – I don't know that there's another one in – there may be another one in Mobile. I'm not sure. There wasn't for many, many years. There was another one – you know, there's a list of the world-class technicians out there.
Are you still on that list?
I've got a couple more classes to renew it for this year.
Oh, okay.
And that's how they do it nowadays is basically once you get there, if you keep all your training up to date, then you're still considered
well,
a world-class
technician.
Well, we
think you're world-class. We don't give a damn what they
that's
think.
Right. Exactly. And I tell them that from time to time.
Oh, you tell them? You tell them Top Cat said so, too.
That's right.
Yeah, I got another guy in my corner.
Yeah, exactly. But
y'all ain't going along with it. That'd be two guys.
Yeah, that's right. We got at least two or three.
We can take a vote here on the air, and we can probably get you a pretty good group to back you up, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, but now certification, do they have, for instance, specialty certifications? Like if you're a guy in the shop that just does, let's say, transmission mm-hmm. work. You know, so
well,
the whole shop doesn't have to be certified in everything.
Well, and the way GM does it and most manufacturers, okay, we have just say nine major categories of systems on the vehicle: engine, transmission, electrical, AC, brake, you know, on down the list. And GM will tell you, okay, for your size shop, which means basically they take how many cars you sold the year before and they'll determine how many people you need certified in each one of these categories. Mm-hmm. And most of our categories are 2 to 4 people certified per category. So basically, you know, my top guys and myself, we all end up having to be certified in all the categories. And when I say certified, you got to have all the classes. You don't necessarily have to go to take the master assessment, but you have to have gone through all the hands-on, all the web-based, all the, you know, it's just on and on and on, you know, list of things you got to do for training. But I think the last time I looked, it was like 1,700 or 1,800 classes I've done with GM alone that are still current type classes.
You probably know a few things.
Yeah, if I knew everything that I learned over the years, I'd be great. But anyway, we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
He's kissing mama goodbye. He's up and gone with the sun. Daddy drives an 18-wheeler, and he's off on a Midwest run. And 3 sad faces gather round mama. They ask her when daddy's coming home. Daddy drives an 18-wheeler, and they sure miss him when he's gone. Ah, but he calls them every night and tells them that he loves them. He taught them this song to sing. Roll on highway, roll on along, roll on daddy till you get back home.
If you're looking for piping, 2 locally owned and operated companies have all the answers. Alabama Pipe and Supply and Universal Precast. APS provides construction, landscaping, civil engineering, and sewer system piping, and they pride themselves on providing prompt service and on-time delivery. Their customer service is second to none. APS also specializes in erosion control, soil and water separation, and slope and channeling control products in a variety of materials designed to fit your specific applications. Universal Precast specializes in storm boxes and industrial storm drains and covers. No job is too large or too small. Call David Jones and the professionals at Alabama Pipe and Supply and Universal Precast for all your piping needs. Located at 5721 Highway 90 West, Mobile. Call 653-1399. That's 653-1399. Alabama Pipe and Supply and Universal Precast.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit. Until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom, 1-800-316-0266. That's 1-800-316-0266.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom, 1-800-316-0266. That's 1-800-316-0266.
Call today.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is the Car Doctor, Kevin Remco, along with Tom Claxton. You have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But one of our listeners was sending me a message here, and he sounds like he was a GM tech there for a while and had been to Delgado in New Orleans quite a bit.
Okay.
And he's making comment about the electrical courses that's there's a bunch of them, and they're very involved. I mean, they have a couple day class on just identifying and locating terminals in the repair kits. So it's it's a very involved deal to get your certification in this, and pretty much everybody in the dealership has to be certified in the electrical end of it, because
everything you touch is electrical.
Is electrical nowadays. Yeah. But we do have another listener here. Let's see. I have a 2017 Chevrolet Colorado Z71 four-wheel drive midnight edition. Really like the truck, but unfortunately it has a transmission shutter issue. Dealer replaced the torque converter. Still has the transmission issue. Waiting on an appointment to flush, replace the transmission fluid. What's your take on the issue? Well, we've actually gone through a couple renditions of the fluid. The original fluid was okay. It did have some issues after a while. The last fluid that we were using before the first of the year, I think they went the wrong way on that one, because it didn't take long for it to start causing issues again, a little more severe even than what it was before. Did not, and actually made it harder to check because it gave a little bit of a different feel. But the fluid that we're using now, we've been doing it since just after the first of the year probably. I have not had one come back yet that we've done the flush on. And I say flush, but it's actually a fluid exchange. I have been very impressed with the shift in drive quality of the transmissions once we've done that. It changes the whole feel of the vehicle. It smooths out the takeoff acceleration, the shifts, the cruising shutter that it was doing. And we have not replaced a torque converter for a shutter since. So
awesome, yeah.
I do believe that's going to be a good thing for it. Really is. But it looks like we do have a caller online. Caller, you with us?
Yes, how y'all guys doing tonight?
Doing great. How are you?
I have a diesel question for you.
Okay.
I have a 7.3 diesel rollback 89 tow truck, flatbed, and my friend of mine keep telling me to bulletproof it. Can you give me some insight on what he means by bulletproofing it?
And what year did you say it was?
It was an 89.
The 89 Ford?
7.3. Yeah. 7.3 diesel.
The 89 Ford 7.3 is pretty much bulletproof anyway. Yeah.
Okay.
The bulletproofing part that he's talking about is what they were doing to the 6.0 and 6.4s. They were doing a EGR delete. They were pulling the heads, changing the type head gaskets, replacing the head bolts with ARP studs. There was just kind of a list of things that they were going through and doing to them, fixing the weak points that they had. They can call it bulletproofing if they want, but I've seen an awful lot of those fail.
Yeah. I have one more other question.
Yeah.
Oil change.
Uh-huh.
When should I change the oil and how many miles? Somebody told me don't change it for a year, and I just can't see.
Nope.
Not change it.
No. Well, okay, these are oil-driven injectors. Well, your 89 is not going to be a oil-driven injector. It's going to be a normal injector. Now, yours is kind of an old school, non-turbo 7.3, pretty basic.
Absolutely.
Yeah, pretty basic motor, pretty bulletproof already. The only real issues they had some return line cups that went on top of the injectors that tended to leak, or the lines to them leak. Other than that, that motor was pretty tough, okay? Now, if you change your oil every 3,000 to 5,000 miles, you're good. Don't go by, if you haven't gotten to that kind of mileage in a year, change your oil. Okay.
Yeah.
But other than that, you don't wait a year to change it just because you can. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Man, you the greatest. You are man.
Man knows what he's talking about, don't he, brother?
He know what he's talking about.
I'm telling you.
Man, yeah. I'm so happy to speak with you.
All right, but I appreciate you listening.
All right, thank you.
And we have another caller online. Caller, are you with us?
Hello?
Yes, what can I do for you?
That's awesome. First time caller. I've been listening to you guys for years. Really love the show. I've got a 97 Ford Expedition, and it's a 4x4, and I bought it from a guy, and it's in great condition other than the four-wheel drive. I can't tell if it shifts in the four-wheel drive, like, because you got the selector, you know, down on the dash.
Right.
And I don't know, is there any way to test that, or because it drives great.
Right.
You know, but
right.
I just don't know. Like, I'm assuming it's in, you know, 2H, but, like, you know, whether the all-wheel, four-wheel drive or the four-high, four-low works, I really don't know.
Well, yeah, and about the only way you can really tell is, okay, one thing, you can go all the way to four-low, and if it doesn't top out at about 35, 40 mile an hour, then it's not in four-low. You'll notice okay. a noticeable difference in the way it takes off and the RPMs of the motor and all that's running. It'll shift okay. just like it normally does, but it shifts extremely fast, and, you know, the RPMs are way up there, you know, and it's not a high-speed deal, okay? Now, as far as whether the front axle is engaging or not, that's a little trickier, and, you know, just an easy check, you can get out and get out in some loose gravel, loose dirt, whatever, put it in four high is fine. And just gas it up a little bit, turn the front wheels and gas it up a little bit and see if it spins the front tires. If it's engaged, it should spin the front tires along with the rear. So, you know, you got to be in a safe spot and make sure nothing's around, all that kind of stuff. Or maybe even have someone watch them for you. Just don't run over them. Yeah, I'm sure they'd appreciate that. But, you know, and really the... They had kind of a strange setup on them. They were a vacuum-operated front hub. Some of the vacuum, you know, systems could have an issue. I've seen vacuum lines just rot and give problems. The front hubs, the seals where everything goes together, you know, the seals could leak. So just check it out and see if it is working. If it isn't, you know, it may be a fairly simple fix, or it may be something you have to get a little deeper with, but you just have to know what you're chasing to get there.
Okay, and I have one other,
sure.
I guess, small question.
Yeah.
If you have time.
Yeah, quickly. We've got about 45 seconds, I think.
Oh,
no,
okay.
Okay. Well, we got about...
Was it...
Yeah, we've got a little shorter now. Hang on a second. I'll talk to you after we get off the show here. But it looks like we're going to run out of time before we get to ask your question. But I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show. And Tom and I should be back next week.
10 feet tall and bulletproof.
Oh, always.
Big
always.
Hoorah to all of our veterans and first responders. Bless all of you.
Because they figure any place a truck driver eats, the food's just got to be good. So they go in there amongst all them truck drivers, sitting around talking low. They're talking about women and stuff like that and how fast them trucks will go.